Wouldn't it be interesting if one Sunday I just sat here and we looked at each other for 15 minutes? It was not going to be this Sunday, but the chief question today, and I have to tell you that I am incredibly tired. If I can just complain a little bit. I don't have anybody to complain to. So, since I have the microphone. Yesterday, I had 12 baptisms, confessions, 3 weddings, 2 appointments, and a dinner I had to go to. And today, I had a talk in the morning, an appointment at the hospital, 1:15 mass, 2 appointments, and now here. I quit. No, I don't. I always walk around saying I quit, but I don't. I really, you know, folks, I really love being a priest. I really do enjoy it. This is 39 years I've been doing this, and I really enjoy what I do. So, what am I going to tell you about tonight? I'd like to talk about praying tonight, because that's the chief thing that the apostles ask. Teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. I always have found that, you know, very sort of, I don't know what adjective to use, weird, that the holiest man who ever lived, ever, which is God himself being human, taught one prayer, and that is it. You don't get tons of prayers. You just get one. And that one prayer is like what? 5 lines? 6 lines? And you would expect that Jesus would have had a lot more to say. But when you look at what Jesus says about prayer in different parts of the gospel, you begin to get to glean why he is quiet about it. We hear Jesus going off to pray a lot. But if you think about it, what is he doing when he is praying? What is he doing? When I ask most people, how do you pray? The answer I normally get back is, well, I just talk to God. And it always strikes me that that's probably one of the worst answers that you could give. Why? Because prayer is 98% listening to God. And maybe 2% talking to God. You see, a lot of times when we say prayers, we just say them. Even when we say the Our Father or the Hail Mary, you know, how much do we really think about it? That's why when people come to confession, and I'm hearing confessions, I never give as a penance, say, 3 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys. That drives me up a wall. I remember how I used to do that. You know, I'd go to confession, and the priest say 10 Hail Marys. And I'd go, Hail Mary, we want to have now be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. No, no, wait, that's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Holy Spirit. I forgot it. But I used to just, I'm sure God was up there saying, oh, look at how Mario loves me. look at how he's rattling off. And then when I'd finish my 10 Hail Marys, I go, okay, done. Thank you, God. Forgiveness. Till next time. Now, is that what it's supposed to be? Is that the sacrament of reconciliation? Is that the sacrament? Is that forgiveness? And the answer is no. We have mechanicalized, I don't know if that's a word, nor mechanized. We have mechanized some of the sacraments to the point of almost making them, you know, you put in your money in your slot machine or in your machine and you get the Coke at the bottom. It's almost like you say your prayers and that's it. But we're missing the point, because prayer is about listening to God. Now let me explain. That's why I don't think Jesus himself taught a lot of prayers, because I don't think he wanted a lot of people saying, "Whoa, if Jesus taught all these prayers, then we got to recite each and every one of them." And we don't even know the content of when he was praying a lot, but we don't know their content. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it's very simple. Father. It's even more simple than the way we learn the Our Father. It's Father, may your name be held holy. May your kingdom come. I think they skipped "Thy will be done" on this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us the way we forgive others. And that's really about it. But so what Jesus is telling us is that in terms of asking God or talking to God for something, this is one of the cool things about the Apple Watch. You know, if your phone ever rings, you just go like this and it shuts the phone down. Anyway, where was I? The incredible brevity of the Our Father is telling you that Jesus really doesn't need to hear a lot from you. He doesn't need to hear a lot from you. Now, he does want you to ask periodically what you need. And we'll talk about asking in his name. But I propose that Jesus does not need to hear from you very much. You need to hear from him a lot. A lot. You see, let's take several kinds of prayer, okay, and the way we pray them. When we pray the rosary, for example, do we really think that God needs to hear the Hail Mary 50 times? I mean, do you really think that pleases God to hear the Hail Mary 50 times? And the answer is no. But you see, the rosary was never meant to be gotten through. The rosary was meant as an aid to help you dwell on what they call the mysteries of the rosary, which means you're not supposed to pay attention to the Hail Mary. It's one of the few prayers when you're supposed to not pay attention to the Hail Mary. You're supposed to be paying attention to the content of the scene that is being recommended, one of the mysteries. And so the origin of the rosary is because the medieval monks, many of them could not read. And so since many of them could not pray the Psalms, there are 50 Psalms, they created the rosary so that they could present scenes of Jesus' life. And as you're sort of saying a prayer that is very familiar and almost rolls off your tongue, you're supposed to be entering into the scene of the mystery in your mind that you are praying. Now, what does that do? You're not saying the Hail Mary 50 times to God. What you're doing is you are listening to God while in your imagination you are thinking about the moments in Jesus' life, and those moments are getting inside of you and they are changing the way you think, the way you act, the way you are. Prayer is supposed to be the equivalent of Holy Communion. When you go to communion, you receive the host inside of you. And the point of receiving Christ inside of you is that when God gets inside of you, he begins to literally morph you into the you that you are supposed to be. The whole object of sacraments and prayer is that you should, throughout the course of your life, begin to think like Jesus. That's the whole point. St. Paul would say, put on the mind of Christ. You need to change the pattern of your thinking to such a degree that you begin to mimic the thinking patterns of Jesus. And the way you do that is by internalizing both the sacrament, going to communion, but then the Word of God. One of the ways that I highly recommend to people is that instead of talking to God, which I'm not saying you shouldn't, but instead of talking to him, take the time every single day to listen to him. Sit down in a quiet place. Open up your Bible. Hopefully to the New Testament first. Remember, we're Christians. The Old Testament is a writings that are looking towards the New Testament. A Christian never reads the Bible from beginning to end. A Christian reads the Bible, the New Testament first, and then backwards, through the prophets and back to Genesis. Okay? But why? And when you read the Bible, this is a kind of prayer called Lectio Divina, or divine reading. What basically it means is you take a part of the scriptures, and then you begin to read a little part. Whatever part of the New Testament you like, read a little part. But don't read too much. Read a little part. And instead of reading it in terms out loud or just to get through it, chew it. Chew it. Make believe that you're taking every single little sentence and letting it get inside of you. And when you stop for a sentence and something calls your attention, stop. Think about it. Maybe read it again. Look up and just say, what exactly does this mean for me? Now, periodically, you're going to hit paragraphs that you don't understand. You need to have a Bible that you write all over. Okay? You need to have that. And then you should have some kind of Bible study tool at home to where you can begin to look up things that don't make sense to you. The one I highly recommend for everybody is on both. You can get it at Amazon. And I think you can get it at lots of bookstores. And it's on Kindle, so you can get it on electronics. It's called the Daily Bible Study Series by William Barclay. Okay? Now, Barclay, the first time I ever heard of William Barclay, and by the way, he's an Episcopalian bishop, but his commentary on the Bible is so close to the Catholic Church that the first time I ever heard of it was from Bishop Fulton Sheen of the 1950s. He was the one who recommended it. And so what William Barclay does, and he's amazing, is he'll take, now please understand, this is not one book. This is like about 30 books. Okay? But they're little. And this is the genius of that series. Barclay will take a little piece, say you have one book for the Gospel of Luke. Okay? And there's another book for the Gospel of Matthew, and maybe one book for the Gospel of John. And what he'll do is he'll take a little piece of the Bible and he'll quote it right at the beginning of the chapter. And then he will go down and explain it to you so that when you're reading it again from the Bible, you have not only the word of the Lord, but you have the background, and it becomes a lot more rich. But the real genius of this little series is that no chapter is longer than a page and a half. Now, I think that's genius. Have you ever been reading a book and you start a chapter and you look at the chapter and it keeps on going and going and going, and the chapter's 50 pages. And you're going, oh my God, where's the stopping point? Barclay, one page and a half. And if he needs more time, he'll quote the passages again and says continued. But when you read the Bible that way, look at what's happening to you. Instead of you talking to God, the Word of God is getting inside of you. And the more you understand it, the more it's changing the way you think. It's changing your values. It's changing the way you approach God. And that is what is supposed to happen. That's why when people say to me, I just get bored in prayer, I always think, God, you're just talking too much. You're bored. You know why you're bored? Because all you hear is you. And if all you hear is you, you're going to get bored. Because you said it 100 times. Or if you've had your favorite prayer book and you've never anything, always the same prayer book, fine. Say those prayers, but instead of saying the prayers, listen to them in your head and then read some scripture. Let it get inside of you. I always like to make this the image of feeding a potted plant. When you're feeding a potted plant water, you take the water, the hose, and you put it into the pot. Now, do you leave it in the pot? No. The moment that you see the potted plant start, the water starting to rise to the brim, what do? You move it out. And what do you do then? You wait for the water to seep into the soil. And you continue to do that several times, and then you stop. Because overwatering is harmful for the plant. You want to give it just the right amount. Hey, maybe a couple of two or three shots and let it go down. Prayer is exactly the same thing. You are the potted plant. The scripture is your nutrition. Read some. Try to not only to read it, but understand it. That's why I'm recommending a Bible study like the Daily Bible Study series by Barclay. I think that's the most friendly one for all. And no chapters. That's why it's called the Daily Bible Study series. He's only expecting you to do a page and a half a day. And then let it seep inside of you. And when you do that daily, one day after the next, and create a time for prayer, then without you really noticing it, you will begin to think like Jesus. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Thinking like Jesus. Putting the mind of Christ on. That's why when we read in the Bible that Jesus says, ask for whatever you will in my name, and I will give it to you. So many people misunderstand that. Because Jesus is not saying, he's not saying, well, oh Lord, please let me win the lottery. In Jesus' name. That's not what he meant. It always reminds me of the guy who spent so much time in the chapel, days and days and days, night and day, praying to win the lottery. And finally an angel appeared to him and said, the Lord has sent me to ask a request of you. And the guy says, whatever, whatever. And then the angel says, please, the Lord asks, buy a ticket. But it's an old joke. But when Jesus says to us, ask for whatever you want in my name, think of it from this perspective. If I have a very important meeting to go to, but I can't go, and I come to you and I say, would you go in my name? What am I saying to you? Am I saying, go to that meeting and do whatever you want to do? No. What I'm saying to you is, I trust that you and I think alike and that you know what I would want. That we would have a commonality of worldviews, of wants. And I trust you to think like me. And I trust you to want like me. That's what asking in God's name means. That doesn't mean mentioning the name of Jesus. It means entering into another person's name is entering into another person's way of thinking. That's what it's all about. And so, God does not guarantee that you will get whatever you want. Because even when we think like Jesus, it's only a partial transformation. God's wisdom and providence is a lot bigger than your mind or mine. That's why I love when somebody told me some time ago that God will never tell you no. He will give you one of three answers. One, yes. Two, not yet. Three, I have a better idea. It's one of those three. He loves you, and he's listening to you. And he knows that you have different things that you want, but some of them may not be good for you. That's that last part of the gospel. If you ask for a piece of bread, is he going to give you a stone? No. But notice at the very end, he says, will not the Father give the Holy Spirit? And the first time I ever remember reading that, I went, oh, I just get the Holy Spirit? Give me something I want. But that's the whole point. What you're getting is actually a deeper transformation into knowing what's good for you and what God wants for you. And ultimately, it's like, I don't remember this saying, but there's a saying that says, when I was young, I asked for A and B and C. And now that I'm old and I look back, and I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I really wanted. And that's true. If you would have told me that I was going to end up being a priest when I was 17 or 18 years old. All I was doing was chasing women. That's all I was doing when I was 17 and 18 years old. I had hair. I was decent looking. I was chasing. Okay? If you would have told me I was going to be a priest, I would have told you that you were wacko. I didn't even want to be Catholic, much less be a priest. I got nothing that I wanted. I got nothing that I asked for. Of course, I never asked him for anything. But I got everything that I could have wanted. Because he knows you. He knows each one of us. And so, let me finish. I told Beatrice Green that I was going to give a short sermon. Sorry, B. Number one, God doesn't need you to yammer on. Stop talking so darn much. Number two, make your prayer about listening to him. And how do you listen to him? Pay attention. The Bible's not the only way. Sometimes you ought to just be quiet. Sometimes you ought to listen to silence. Sometimes you ought to look at nature and just be. Just listen. Listen to one of my favorite moments of prayer. Happened about 20 years ago when I had a day off and I didn't know where to go. So after spending about 3 hours at Starbucks or some other coffee house, I don't think Starbucks was around, I decided, well, I'm going to go to a movie. There wasn't anything I wanted to see. But I got in the car. And I was about to turn on my car, and I heard something inside of me say, why are you running? Why and what are you running from? And I remember turning off the car, and I remember thinking, I'm not going anywhere until there's something I really want to do. Thank God it wasn't summer. It was winter. I sat in the car for 3 hours. Just no radio, no nothing. I didn't freak out. I just sat there. And my favorite part of that, I will never forget this. A bird, a big bird, I don't know what kind it was, but this big bird landed on my hood. And we looked at each other. I swear, the bird must have been on my hood for 10 minutes. And he would look at me and I would look at him. And I don't know why, but that's one of the most intense experiences of God I've ever had. Because there was something about that bird looking at me. That's what's called a kairos moment. A moment in which you remember something in which God spoke to you. And so just look for those moments. Stop yapping so much. Listen, read the scriptures, listen to nature. Music can also, remember, the definition of prayer is anything that lifts your mind and heart to God. It can be music, it can be silence, it can be poetry, it can be the scriptures, it can be the rosary, it can be lots of things. But listen, your spirit should not be to get through the prayer. Your spirit should be to let it wash over you. And if you do that on a regular basis, you're going to find that slowly you start to change inside. And because then you come to the Eucharist and you let the Eucharist wash over you and listen. And you'll see that over time and in layers, God begins to really transform you and give you the mind of Jesus Christ. God bless. Thanks for listening to me.